Last week, I was gone out of town, and we are just so blessed as a church. We have like amazing people in our congregation that step up and do things and cover things, and Spencer spoke for us last week and did just a great job. I was able to listen to it this week, and I would have been the kid in the front row with the Spencer Rock shirt, like Bryce. So you guys had a great word from God last week, as Spencer shared. We have other great people in our congregation. Like, there's so many, and I don't even want to get started on this. We'll spend the rest of the time doing this. But I was driving by this week, and sometimes we miss these people. I was driving up to the church this week, and I saw two trucks parked out front. And I'm one of those people that remember vehicles, and I'm 99% sure it was Dale Miller and Josh Miller. And they're in the kitchen doing something, fixing something. They're part of our trustee team. We have this amazing trustee team that they are here like all the time fixing stuff for us, and we don't even know it, and we just appreciate it, and you get overlooked. And so can we give our trustees just a round of applause for and we're going to stop there. I could keep going on so many people I'm thankful for. The last weeks, this is week four now in a sermon series I've been doing about sharing our faith and talking about the importance of sharing our faith, and not only the importance of sharing our faith, but the call that we have from Jesus through the Great Commission to do that, to share our faith with other people. And this morning we're going to end that series. And I'm going to give us, really what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at three different examples of people in Scripture that share their faith. And in each one of these examples, I think that the individuals share their faith in kind of unique ways, different ways. And so we're going to look into each one of those ways that they share their faith. But before we do that, I want to just share with you an interesting statistic that I came across. It's reported in the book that's entitled The Day America Told the Truth by James Patterson and Peter Kim. There's a survey that was given, and the respondents were asked to rank 73 different professions for their honesty and integrity. Guess what profession was third from the bottom? TV evangelists. Third from the bottom, right? Like above them were all the people that we would throw under the bus typically when we talk about ethics and that kind of stuff. Only two occupations were below TV evangelists, and that was crime bosses and drug dealers. I didn't even know those are considered occupations exactly, but negative thinking about Christians and how we share our faith is a tragedy for the church. But it's an even bigger tragedy for people that don't know Jesus Christ and haven't heard about him. This morning, we're going to look at a reality that hopefully will encourage us to share our faith in a way that each of us actually feels comfortable doing so. And I think that when we do it in a way that we feel comfortable doing so, it's most effective. God is able to, through the Holy Spirit, use that in ways that are most effective. Here's the deal. There should be as many types, as many methods, whatever word you want to use, of sharing our faith as there are different types of personalities. Because you know why? Because God created me and God created you the way he wanted us. And the way that we are created is the way that we should share our faith with people. Bill Hybels put it this way. He said, God has custom designed each of us with unique personalities, temperaments, talents, and backgrounds, which God can harness and use in his mission to reach a messed up world. In other words, when you share your faith, be yourself. If you're an introvert, you don't have to become some crazy extrovert. If you're fun-loving, you don't have to become serious and scholarly. If you're new in your faith, you don't have to wait until you've been a Christian for 30 years and gone to Bible school. You don't have to fit into somebody else's mold in order to share what you know. Or if we make that more personal, right? I don't have to fit into somebody else's mold in order to share what I know. There are people around you that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ And they need to hear it from somebody like you. Years back, this goes back before we lived in Pennsylvania, so it's probably 14, 15 years ago. Rachel and I were up in Toronto with our youth group. And in fact, I think probably you guys were up in Toronto with your youth group as well. There was this thing called Youth Quest, which is a big youth conference. And I remember one day we were going for lunch, and we were walking down the street to different restaurants. And as we were going down the street, there was a guy that was on the street corner doing evangelism and sharing the gospel and doing it in his method, his form. For me, that would never work. That's not who I am. I certainly feel far from comfortable with that. And he was a guy that was aggressively sharing his faith. But there are circumstances where this really works well. And people that are wired this way, that do this really well. Some of you would know missionary Jay Smith, right? And he's in the speaker's corner, has been in the speaker's corner in Hyde Park in London. And this is like a culturally normal thing where they gather at this corner in London and he climbs up onto this ladder. And I don't think they're allowed to use any amplified microphones. I think that there's a couple different rules and that's one of them. But man, like if you go online on YouTube and do Jay Smith, they get into it. And it's this debate, and it's always a debate against somebody with opposing views and think and theology and that kind of stuff. And that is Jay. Like, he thrives at doing this. He loves it. And he has won people to Jesus Christ by doing this. Last week, Rachel and I were in Baltimore, and I think in three different spots we saw people sharing their faith, whatever it was, in different ways. There was one group of people that just had some poster boards set up, and they were there, and I guess that they were willing to talk with you if you came over to them and approached them and wanted to have a conversation with them about what they had there. And then there was another group of three guys, and they had their PA system set up, and they were yelling and screaming at people as they walked in front of them about stuff. And then on Sunday morning when we walked through there, there was this guy that had the bullhorn, right? The bullhorn guy. And he was there, and he was screaming through his bullhorn, all kinds of crazy stuff. That's not who Dustin is. If I was asked to take the bullhorn or to climb the ladder, that's not me. That's not the way I'm wired. Like, I'm not going to win people to Christ through that, most likely, because that's just not the way God made Dustin, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think in situations like with Jay Smith, where it's a culturally relevant thing, I think it's awesome that God has him in that kind of a scenario where he's able to use his gifting like that. This week we're going to look at these three different biblical ideas of how people share faith. And I just want us to see that each of the individuals uniquely made by God has a way of uniquely sharing the gospel message. And I share this with us this morning to say, however you are uniquely made by God, you have a unique way to share the gospel message. And I want us, more than anything as a church, to figure out how we do that individually and to do it when we leave this place. So let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the beautiful time of worship we've had. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for its instruction. We thank you this morning for its example to us as to the fact that you have made us uniquely and that there's a reason behind that, because each one of us might be able to reach somebody else in a way that is meaningful, the person sitting next to us may not be able to. So Lord God, as we study your word this morning, may we be encouraged with the charge that we have to share the gospel, because we are uniquely equipped to do so. We pray this in your name. Amen. I actually debated this morning, but it was too late in the week for me to make it happen. I wanted to get a bullhorn and start the service out with a bullhorn, but I thought that could have been fun. So the first example we're going to look at is the example of Paul. Paul, the Apostle Paul. So I'm going to have you turn to the book of Acts. You can go to chapter 17, page 785 if you're using one of the church Bibles, which is underneath the chair in front of you. The Apostle Paul, I think he kind of represents what we're going to call the scholarly, the intellectual style of sharing his faith. Paul was like well suited for this method. Paul was highly educated. In fact, he was personally like groomed or tutored by one of the top rabbis of his day. Paul was from Taurus, which was a bustling trade center, a hub of Greek philosophy. In our day today, Paul would probably be like the guy that is from the big city of New York and he has his PhD at Harvard, right? Paul was not only intellectual, but he was analytical by nature. He was very logical in his thinking and his speaking. Most of us probably wouldn't want to come up against Paul in a debate. I certainly would not want to come up against Paul in a debate. Acts chapter 17 gives us this prime example of Paul's way of sharing his faith. Paul was in Athens. This was the place where Paul described kind of the new philosophy that he was teaching to the intellectual elites of the day. When you read his, we'll call it a presentation, you can't help but see how skilled Paul was at sharing his faith with the audience that he was talking to. He started by appealing to their pride and their city and their culture. And this starts in verse 22 and 23. It says, men of Athens. So he begins to address them right in verse 22. Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walk around and look carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to an old unknown God. Now, what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. And then Paul went on to tell them about the one true God in kind of a philosophical terms that would appeal to them. He even quoted one of their own poets, right? And once Paul had these philosophers with him, he took them to the heart of the gospel message. And we see this just a little bit further down, starting in verse 29, where he continues and he says, therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the men he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everybody by raising him from the dead. Really, like, what better spokesperson could God have sent to Athens? Paul presented an intellectual argument, starting from an Athens idol to an unknown God and moving all the way to the one and true God and the resurrected Messiah. His approach was so effective, it says, that some assembled there gave their lives to Christ. So I don't know, I'm going to guess that in the midst of a group of us this size, that there are some, maybe it's you, are a biblical scholar and thrive on intellectual discussions, on biblical ideas, and this kind of approach is kind of a fit for you. Like, do you like working with ideas and evidence? Are you logical and fact-oriented? This style of sharing your faith is very much needed in our increasingly secularized society. Many seekers need to hear the gospel, not only declared, but defended and defined in intellectual terms. If God has created you in this way, be obedient in using your knowledge to share the gospel with people. And then there's another example. And we're only looking at three examples today, just so I'm clear on that. Like, we could do three more messages probably on this and just keep looking at examples, but we're looking at three. The next example is Peter. We're going to go back to Acts chapter 2. So if you're in your Bibles, you're turning back a few pages. Acts chapter 2. From watching Peter in action, we know that he was like this really straightforward kind of guy. Peter was not one for mincing words or wasting time. He was bold. He was direct. He was the guy that's just like right to the point. That's Peter. His verbal style sometimes probably came across like ready, fire, aim instead of ready, aim, fire, right? But as he matured in Christ, he hit the target more often than not. And it's no wonder that God chose Peter to preach really the very first gospel sermon. It was the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. Peter and other apostles were surrounded by crowds of worshipers when Peter stood forward and started to preach or teach. Really, Peter is the first original street preacher, if we're getting technical about this. And he didn't use a bullhorn. He had people's attention without it. And he told them who Jesus was. Then he pointed his finger to them, and he declared, and you'll find this in verse 23, right? So we're in Acts chapter 2, verse 23, and it's like a little bit into verse 23. He says, you, right? He points his finger at them. You, with the help of wicked men, you put to death by nailing him to the cross. It's a little confrontational. He was accusing them of what? Of killing Jesus. Of murder. And they knew that they were guilty. And many people listening to Peter had been in the crowd a few weeks ago when they were screaming, crucify him, crucify him. And then the scripture, if you go down from verse 23, you go down to verse 37... It says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? So he hits them with this pretty confrontational kind of accusation here. And their response is, what should we do? And in the very next verse, right? Peter, very true to his form, he told them exactly what to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on to tell us that about 3,000 of them did exactly what he told them to do. Peter's confrontational style was exactly what they needed to hear. Imagine that. God put the right person in the right place at the right time. I have no doubt that some people are just waiting for that bold, straightforward Christian who won't beat around the bush. And maybe that's you. Maybe that's your style of telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth, right? If it is, follow God. Be you. The third example I want to give us this morning is found in John chapter 9. So if you're following your Bibles, you're going to find John chapter 9 and verse 7. I believe it's page 758. And this last style that we're kind of looking at this morning is what I'm going to call like a testimonial style of evangelism. This style simply means that you tell others what Jesus has done for you. It seems to me that this particular style or method really fits everybody. All of us have a story to tell. All of us, because Jesus has made a difference in our lives. Some of us may be better at telling stories than others. Or maybe some people are especially effective in this manner because they have a story that is maybe more dramatic in our lives. But regardless of that, I believe that all of us can certainly tell how Jesus has made a difference in our lives. So in the Gospel of John, it gives a really good example of somebody who used this testimonial style of sharing their faith of Jesus, in Jesus. And the particular example I'm using is the man that was born blind. We don't know much about this man, except for the fact that he was born blind. We don't know as much as we did about Paul and Peter, but we do know that Jesus healed him. And here's how it kind of happened, right? Jesus announced to the crowds that I am the light of the world, and then as if it was to prove his point, he turned to the man who had been born blind, and Jesus spit on the ground and made some mud out of it. He rubbed it on the eyes of the man, and he told him to go wash his eyes, it tells us in verse 7. So the man went and washed and came home seeing, right? So Jesus had done something in this man's life. He had made some difference in this man's life. A pretty dramatic difference in this man's life, let's be honest, right? We might think everybody would celebrate with this man, but that's wrong. As you look at the story, the Jewish leaders were enraged by the attention that Jesus was getting because of this amazing miracle that took place. And they cornered the man and they ordered him to stop telling people what Jesus had done for him. And they're telling him to give glory to the real God. Like in verse 24, it says, give glory to God. And then speaking about Jesus, they continued and they said, we know this man is a sinner. So they're not so much in favor of what's taking place. They're not celebrating alongside the blind man. Instead, they're calling Jesus a sinner. Now, look at the simplicity of the man's testimony here, right? This is what I want us all to see. Verse 25, the man replies with this. What a strong and well thought through and powerful testimony, right? Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. The one thing I know is I was blind, but now I see. Look how simple that was. To give a testimony of the incredible power of our God and the difference that he makes in our lives. He didn't defend Jesus. He said, sinner, I don't know. But he said, what I do know is that in my life he's made a difference. This man, he was not prepared to give some theological argument, some intellectual response. I'm going to guess that didn't fit his style. He wasn't confrontational in his response. But if you read the rest of John chapter 9, you'll see that this short and simple testimony of what Jesus did in his life was so effective that it drove the Jewish leaders crazy. Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, but now I see. Drove him crazy. hard to argue with somebody who has been transformed by an encounter with Jesus. And I believe that this room, it's full of people with testimonies of how Jesus has changed or transformed our lives. Has Jesus made a difference in your life? Do you have a story to share? I think sometimes we get so consumed by the idea of, well, people might ask me questions about Jesus that I don't know the answers to, so I don't really want to go down that road because I'm going to look like a fool. Sometimes the answer is, I don't know. Jesus a sinner? I don't know. But here's what I do know. Doesn't have to be a dramatic story. There are people who live life and work around you who need to hear about the difference that Jesus has made in your life. I think we would do well as Christ followers to kind of have a story on the back burner sometimes. So that when the opportunity arises, the discussion about faith or Jesus or any of those things, that's just kind of like our go-to, our default. We have a story to tell about how Jesus did something in my life. And your story, like the Holy Spirit has the power to take and use your story to absolutely bring other people either closer to Christ or into a relationship with Christ. So I want to close us by saying two things, or speaking to two groups of people, I guess I'll say. If you're here this morning and you know Jesus, you have a relationship with Jesus, He's your Lord and Savior, we have a responsibility. We have an obligation. We are expected to share Jesus with others in the world that we live in. As we've looked at over the last weeks, and if you haven't been with us over the last weeks, you can go online and catch it on our website. They're all up on the website. But as we've looked at over the last weeks, it is very clear that Jesus has commanded us, not like kind of suggested to us, but has commanded us to do so, to share our faith. I asked you to think at the very beginning of this series of somebody in your life that doesn't know Jesus. And I'll be honest with you, I've been praying that God would keep that person in your mind. Here's my question. Can you trust that God can use you just as you are, whether that's introverted, scholarly, confrontational, whether you're new to faith, whether you're like the socially awkward guy, or the life of the party? God can and will use you if you will take the step of obedience and share the hope that you have in Jesus with others. He will use you to bring others closer to or into a relationship with Christ. So for us as believers, that's the call that we find in Scripture. To those of you that are here that maybe you're not at a place where you have a relationship with Jesus yet, I know that there are many folks in here that know Jesus, and you might know some of those people. So I would just encourage you to have a conversation, to ask the question, say, hey, tell me about your experience with Jesus. It's that simple. Put your friend or the person you know on the spot and see how they respond to that. Give them the opportunity to be obedient to God's call in their life to share their faith with you. And if you're here and you don't know anybody else and you don't really know somebody that's following Christ, man, I would love an email or phone call. And I'll gladly share with you some bits and parts of my story and my journey, the difference that Jesus has made in my life. And we'll do it right out here at the square, all the bullhorn, and you stand on one side of the road, and that's not the way it will happen. But I would love the opportunity to share with you. So the call is clear. What will you do with the call that God has given to you? Let's pray. Lord God, help us to be obedient in every aspect of our lives. And I know that I fail at this, and I think it's fairly safe to say that others in this room do too. So forgive us for those times that we do. As we leave this place, Lord God, as this message is on our minds, may we be encouraged just how we are, uniquely created by you, to uniquely share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Not to try to be somebody else, but to be ourselves and to trust that your Holy Spirit can use us the way you created us to share the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray this in your name. Amen.